from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I am Clint.
I am Barry. And I have been agonizing for the last 2 days about whether or not to go to Tokyo. I know life's hard and everything, but...
Like I said, you gotta take me with you.
Yeah, I don't think your wife would be cool with that.
Just don't tell Cheryl, like you said on Twitter. No, that price is... how long is that price good for?
It's only good for, I'm imagining, a certain amount of time. And if I don't pull the trigger here soon, I'm going to lose out. But then it's like... it's an insane airfare. But then you're talking a week in Japan, you're talking about spending a minimum another $1,500 to $2,000.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're going to get cheap airfare, but can you afford the other stuff?
Yeah.
You're going to be in Japan, but you're not going to be able to do anything because you just blew your you blew your budget on the airfare. So, I kind of want to start doing something kind of new at the beginning of the podcast, just briefly touch on kind of how me and yours week went.
Mm-hmm.
Do something that's more personable and... Just kind of let people know if we did anything fun over the weekend, because we usually record Sunday night. So I figured we could take a quick few minutes and, just kind of go over what we did over the weekend.
So what did you do
over the weekend?
Oh, okay, I'll go first.
You go first. Your weekend was more exciting than mine, I can promise you that.
Let's see. Wednesday, I went to Halloween Horror Nights. Thursday, I went to Halloween Horror Nights. Friday, went to Halloween Horror Nights. Saturday, I actually went to downtown Orlando. Every year, they the Creative City Arts puts on this big thing called Immerse, where they basically block off about 4 blocks of Orange Avenue in downtown Orlando and do all these performances. And it's everything from bands to dance, to circus arts. There's art installations.
There's a lot of interactive stuff too, right?
Yeah, there's interactive stuff. And there was different, there was a giant ball pit. We did this thing, the World of Corkicle, where you had all these different photo ops that were, if you go on my at Culture and Thrills Twitter, you can see some of the different cool photo ops we got to do that with the lighting and the design of them. I mean, they look like professional,
There was pictures. One that you did that was really cool looking. It had, you guys were standing by some lights or something.
Yeah.
That one came out really cool. I like that one.
There was a lot of cool things, and I mean, a lot of it's amazing how just with the right lighting and the type of background, you can create these pictures that look like it's like a professional photograph.
Yeah.
So it was a blast. It was really cool. Probably the coolest thing was they had this thing where they combined an orchestra with a DJ and a drummer. And they were playing in this giant platform in the middle of the street that had the DJ and the drummer above the orchestra. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and they basically did sort of orchestrated parts to different songs and stuff. So it was pretty neat. And the great thing about it, it's free.
And that's always good.
It's something that happens every October, and it's one of the things I love about Orlando is there's so much different performing arts here. I mean, we have such a huge, gigantic arts community here.
Yeah.
And pretty much anything you can think of, you can see in Orlando when it comes to performing arts and art in general. So, yeah. And then, of course, I went to Halloween Horror Nights earlier today.
I saw you did pretty good for... What you did? You did Stay and Scream?
Yeah, I did Stay and Scream and Finnegan's, and I was sort of, since it was just me, I sort of was able to, I got into the first queue before they shut it off, and then sort of wandered my way up to the front of it and was able to knock out all four soundstage houses by 7 o'clock. So I actually had got to run through Stranger Things. And the great thing is I really didn't have to wait to run through Stranger Things.
Yeah, and I know you've been dying to go through that one again because you just haven't been through it because the waits have been ridiculous. Yeah.
So it was, like I think I've said before, the set design's amazing, and actually one of the Demogorgons got me, and I guess it's because I haven't gone through it since opening night, so it's like I forgot about one spot, and one of the Demogorgons got me, so.
That's cool. My Monday through Friday, aside from Horror Nights on Friday nights, was usual parenting stuff, nothing exciting. But the weekends usually tend to be fun with me being a father of three kids. And yesterday we had the Fall Festival here in Hunters Creek in Orlando. And I went out there and helped out with the hayride. And the kids and the wife came out, and it's always a fun time. They have costume contests and inflatables, and it's always a good time. So we did that on Saturday, and then today was my nephew's first birthday, so we went over to my sister and her husband's house, and we kind of hung out and celebrated that today. So that was my wonderfully exciting weekend. And I did some filming this morning for church, as some of you saw on Twitter, so that was my morning. So anyways, that's it for our exciting lives. We got some goodies to talk about today, some small, some big, and we're going to kind of move some things around. We're going to talk about Halloween, but we're going to do it at the end of the podcast so you guys can listen to the whole podcast, and we'll do the Halloween review at the very end because we know it just came out. And you know, if you're listening to this, you might have not seen it yet, so we'll save that to the very end so you won't miss anything else. Anyways, we got a few pop culture things to talk about, and then some theme park goodies. So first things first, yet another Marvel Netflix show has been canned. Barry, you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, probably the biggest surprise to come out this week, pop culture news wise, and they literally slipped out like late Friday night, is that after two seasons, Luke Cage has been canceled by Netflix. So this is now the second Marvel series on Netflix that's been canceled. You know, it seems to be some of it that's reported is there's been behind the scenes turmoil. Between Marvel and Netflix over, I guess, the creative direction of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And also the inability of everyone to reach a new deal for season 3. Because season 3 was going to be a 10-episode season, down from 13. And so it's been canceled. I think both seasons of Luke Cage, from what you know, it's ever been reported, they both did really well. And if you saw the reaction on social media, it was not really nice towards Netflix. There's a lot of people who are pissed off that this show has been canceled.
Well, of course, you got the whole Disney streaming service come, so you wonder if that has anything to do with
it
as well.
There's been definitely some opinion pieces online of whether this is Netflix. You know, Netflix is bringing more and more of their stuff in-house, and these shows are expensive to do, and whether they're, like, sort of cutting, you know, why give Disney money?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we'll see. You know, it wouldn't surprise me because we sort of understood Iron Fist being canceled. But Luke Cage is incredibly popular. So it really makes you question what it came down to, whether this really came down to just money, or that they're just using that as an excuse to get rid of the show. And then there's a question no one seems to know yet, whether Disney can take the show, say, over to Hulu if they want to. How the rights with the Marvel Netflix shows are built into the contracts.
Yeah, I don't know the details of the whole Marvel and Netflix, you know, what legality.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine, you know, Disney and Marvel have the rights to do whatever they want with the shows and with the characters. I mean, so I you know, some people have jokingly said, well, with Iron Fist and Luke Cage both gone, well, now they can do, you know, there was a comic, what, Heroes for Hire, that was Luke Cage and Iron Fist together. It's like, well, shoot, they can just go over to Hulu and do Heroes for Hire or something like that, or maybe Luke Cage can go over to Hulu. I guess we'll find out, you know, what they're going to do, so, or whether it just ends, but...
Yeah. That's interesting that it's, you know, I mean, it's because when was, what was the other show that got canceled?
Iron Fist.
Iron Fist. That just got canceled recently, too. So this isn't, you know, they're not very, they haven't been very spaced apart. So you wonder if, you know, something's going on.
Yeah, it's definitely, so makes you question whether, what's going on there, whether this is has more to do with Disney having a streaming service and,
yeah.
Less to do with other things.
More behind the scenes than, you know, anything. So, now I got, when you sent me the, when you sent me the timeline for our recording, I know I must have missed this week. Our next topic, you mentioned that Marvel Studios has removed the film from 2020. Enlighten me because I have no idea what that's about.
Yeah.
I must have missed it.
Marvel has dropped a movie from their 2020 release schedule, which, I mean, as we know, you know, their 2020 release, everything after Spider-Man, the next Spider-Man movie has been, you know, there's been radio silence about what's going to happen in 2020.
Yeah.
You know, all we know is, you know, that they're, you know, there was originally scheduled 3 Marvel Studios films for 2020, and now there's down to 2. You know, there's been talk of the May 1st, 2020 date, and whether that's still there. You know, there's...
Well, you know what's in...
They moved Jungle Cruise recently to July 24th, 2020.
I was just going to say that, yeah, they moved Jungle Cruise. They announced that earlier this week, that's been pushed back to 2020.
Yeah, I mean, right now, like Disney and Marvel slates for 2020 is like, it's like February 14th, Untitled Disney Live Action, March 6th, 2020, Untitled Pixar Animation, which that would be weird because I don't think Pixar has ever released anything outside of summer or Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the holidays.
March 27th, 2020 is supposed to be Mulan. May 1st, 2020 is the currently untitled Marvel, which I am really beginning to think, based on some other articles I've seen, that that's going to be Doctor Strange too. Because there was an article, I think, last week that talked about that Doctor Strange, it looks like Doctor Strange 2 is starting filming beginning of next year. And
cool.
You know, there had been that rumor before that they were going to move Doctor Strange 2 up. I'll be interesting thing. The other thing with, I guess the other piece of news, like with Ryan, Coogler coming back to write and direct and produce Black Panther 2, could we see Black Panther 2 move up into the another Marvel spot? Is supposed to be November 6, 2020. Could we see Black Panther 2 move into that spot now that they're...
Have they given a time frame for Black Panther 2, Marvel?
No, they haven't yet. I mean, that's the thing. After Spider-Man next year, Marvel has
pretty
not revealed anything.
Yeah.
As far as what's coming out. But obviously, something's going to go in production here soon, because I mean, it really, the first beginning of the year, something's got to go into production.
Yeah. We know it's not going to be Guardians 3.
Yeah, we know it's not going to be Guardians 3. which, like we've said, we've talked about before, not having Guardians 3 be in that kickoff slot, which is May 1st, 2020, you know, it was basically supposed to kick off the next phase, and it's really, you know, that whole debacle has really thrown the entire next phase into a serious problem, so...
Yeah. Moving on, theme park news-wise, this week, we got some announcement dates from Disney, but we're going to start off with Legoland. They finally released some juicy details about Lego Movie World, which I'm even more excited about now after they announced these. There's three, well, two are brand new. The third one is a rehash of the Quest for Chi, World of Chima attraction.
Yeah, I mean, it based on this concept art, you know, you got Unikitty's Disco Drop, the Battle of Bricksburg, which, you know, replaces the previous ride, and
the Chima one.
Yeah, the Chima one, and then Lego Movie Masters of Flight, which will be sort of like Soarin'. You know, we've seen, I'm not exactly who the manufacturer is, but we've seen flying theaters at the IAPA Attractions Expo in Orlando. And this type of stuff has been put in a lot of other places around the world. But they're getting one of their own here for this Lego Movie World, which, you know, based on the renderings, it looks like they are definitely dropping some money into this. It looks very detailed and very, looks like a slight step up above compared to some of the other stuff at Legoland.
Yeah, they, you know, I was there for Brick or Treat a couple weeks ago, and they've got the metal framing up for the building, and it's a pretty big building, so I'm excited for it. I was trying to think of what that building. At first, it just looked like they were going to build a stage, like a little auditorium for like a stage show or something. But come to find out, it's going to be a flying theater, which I think is a perfect fit for that park. You know, it's going to have a low height requirement. You know, it'll be great for the whole family to ride. So I think it's a perfect addition for the park, and I'm excited to see how it turns out. Plus, you're going to be able to ride on the flying couch from the Lego Movie or whatever it is, the double-decker couch.
Yeah.
So that's really cool that they're theming, you know, the ride vehicle is going to be themed to that. So,
yeah, I mean, those rides, I mean, as we've seen with Soarin' here at Disney, I mean, I've seen grandmothers in wheelchairs hop on that thing.
Yeah,
that attraction, and you know, it's perfect for that park. It, you know, and it gives it's not a three, you know, it gives you, you know, instead of being a 3D movie like the other Lego Movie, it's like just a straight up 3D full 4D whatever movie
show. Yeah,
yeah, show. It's like this is going to be a real attraction. So it definitely seems like they're really trying to do some, you know,
some really big and unique things.
Yeah, and you know, when I never really thought about it until sitting there thinking, it's like, well, you know, Disney's opening Star Wars Land next year, and it's like, well, you know, Lego's opening their own land, so it's
yeah. I really don't think, I mean, yeah. It's interesting. I think Legoland kind of has found their own niche, and you know, it's Legos, and I don't think they've ever really had to. Yeah, they have to keep up on things, but I don't think Legoland is worried about competition. You know, because I think they're kind of far out there, you know, in Winter Haven to not really be in the midst of all the theme park wars. You know, but they still have to keep up on, you know, adding new stuff to, you know, to draw in the crowds.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like it, you know, they've done something. They made that, you know, what was originally Cypress Gardens, and which, you know, other people had failed at over the years, to make that a successful park. They made a successful park, and they've, you know, expanded it to the point that it's, you know, it's not just a park, it's a park, a water park, and hotels. So they have their own little, you know, resort there.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, you know, families, you know, they seem to have no problem filling up that hotel and the beach resort. And, you know, and they've got their own niche. I mean, Legos are hugely popular, and people will travel that far out of the way from the rest of the Orlando parks to go to Legoland.
Yeah, and I think that's it. You know, Legos are a timeless classic toy that, you know, I mean, me and you played with Legos, so, you know, there's that nostalgia factor there with the parks. But anyways, so yeah, they're shooting for a spring opening with Lego Movie World, so they're shooting for getting this thing open as soon as they can. Yeah. The Battle for Bricksburg ride looks pretty awesome. They're going to retheme the, like I said, the Quest for Chi attraction, and you're going to be shooting the water guns at the big Duplo characters you see at the very end of the first Lego Movie. So that looks fun. And then the Unikitty, what's it called? The Disco Drop.
Yeah.
That looks interesting. It's not like a drop tower. It's like a, I couldn't figure out what kind of ride it is. I was running all the ride manufacturers through my head, and, I couldn't figure out what kind of attraction that's going to be. It sounds interesting though.
No, it all looks pretty cool. So
that'll be opening next year at Legoland. Disney-wise, yeah, we got some opening dates. We'll quick fire through them. World of Disney at Disney Springs. They actually opened up a new section. They're kind of opening up the World of Disney store in phases. The first one, I forgot when the first phase opened up.
It was a couple months ago.
I was going to say it was in the middle of summer almost, yeah. When it opened up the first phase. And now they've opened up another phase, and they also revealed the opening date for both Downtown Disney and ours here at Disney Springs.
Yeah, it's October 26th at Downtown Disney and October 27th at Disney Springs. And these are the official openings. Both of them have had soft openings so far. And I believe both Downtown Disney at Disneyland and ours here are pretty much soft opened. I mean, obviously, with soft openings, that could mean that they decide to close off part of it at any time they want, if they're still, because I know they are, I believe, still working on a few little things based on some of the reports we've seen. But, you know, the grand opening's this weekend for both, and based on what I've seen so far, I mean, I know when the first part opened, we were a lot of us were sort of like, it's well, yeah, exposed brick, and yeah. It's like, gosh, where have we seen this before? But then now that we've seen a lot of the more touches, it's supposed to look like it was an animation building. And there's like, apparently on some of the shelves and on the displays, there's like it looks like where an animator had drawn something on the tables. And
yeah, all the little animation like touches.
Yeah, and there's pencil drawings that come to life in some of the displays. And a lot of a lot of visual and animated stuff that seems to go on in the store. And it definitely looks like a nice, cleaner layout than the old store was. Everything, you know, seems to be a lot easier to get to.
I think that's the biggest thing I've noticed, and I'm looking forward to, is the old World of Disney store was always such a chaotic mess to navigate. And they've really widened the aisles, and it just seems like they really put a lot of thought into the navigation of that store, you know, the layout. So yeah. it looks really good. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to checking it out. And you know, they debuted a new line of merchandise that features the Mickey Mouse Club. So it's a lot of retro looking merchandise, featuring like the style, the design and style of the Mickey Mouse Club, and a bunch of Christmas. New Christmas stuff that is coming out this year. In the Christmas area of the store, there's some like giant ornaments, and then there's actually a version of that ornament you can buy that I know we've seen. There's like a tiki bird one of the birds from the tiki room. That there's a giant version of, and then there's an actual version of that same giant one you can buy, you know, for your Christmas tree. So
I know you're excited about that. You love your Christmas ornaments.
Yeah. Yeah, I just ordered a brand. I just ordered a 9 foot tall Christmas tree. So.
Oh geez. Oh, well, there you go. You got. You got
to
fill.
But
it
I had.
Up,
so. I had to. Get, I had to. You know. I had that sea of trees here last year. I had to give up 2 trees though, and she. Because she was like, all right, you can have the 9 foot tall. Because I got a great deal in the 9 foot, but it's like, you got to get rid of 2 other trees. So
I got compromise.
Rid of, yeah, I had to get rid of the 6 foot tree and then one of these little, like, 2 foot tall trees I have. So those went to good homes, but I'm looking forward to setting up that 9 foot tall, skinny tree. So
The other opening date we got was for the new Disney Junior Dance Party at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, I mean, this is the replacement for the previous show, which, yay, another dance party. I mean, you know, the other one was like a puppet show. I mean, this one will it's supposed to feature characters like Vampirina, Mickey from the Mickey and the Roasters Racers, Doc McStuffins, and from the Lion Guard. You know, they'll be sort of interacting and stuff like that. And I believe also Vampirina has a meet and greet that started this past weekend at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah. So, Disney Junior live on stage was interesting because, you know, it was a whole show. There was some interaction, but a lot of it involved, you know, children sitting and watching the show.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how they're going with more of a dance party aspect with this show. I'll be interested to see how it is. Obviously check it out with my 3 kids and see what they think of it when it opens. When's it opening?
It is opening. The party starts December 22nd. So it'll be sometime next year when you get to try that.
Yeah. Right before Christmas. Nope, I'm good. Yeah.
Cast I'll be able to go be the weird adult going, wow, this is exciting.
So finally with Disney, this was kind of a random out of the blue announcement. They announced a new resort coming to the park.
Well, yeah, a new resort coming in between Disney's Wilderness Lodge and Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort. This is not debuting until 2022. Disney and their, you know, 4 year ahead announcements. You know, it's supposed to bring more than 1700 new hotel rooms, and of course it will, you know, have Disney Vacation Club villas. I mean, pretty much everything being built now is usually Disney DVC related. This one, the concept art sort of bleh.
There were a lot of people ripping it apart on Twitter. It looks like a Best Western. It looks like a
It looks like some of the apartment complexes here in Orlando.
Yeah. I don't see where they're going. Maybe this concept rendering just wasn't detailed enough, but I like the sounds of a nature-inspired resort, but this artist concept that we got just doesn't look like a nature-inspired resort. So
yeah, I mean, and then there's the fact that it's going to be going, you know, part of it where River Country used to be.
Yeah.
It's going in what was a wooded area, and there's a lot of people worried about how this is going to affect Fort Wilderness and how many trees are they going to get rid of. And, you know, it's right. Disney lately, I mean, to me, I go to if I'm going to stay at a Disney resort, I want unique theming.
Yeah.
I want, you know, you need to justify how much I'm having to pay for this. And some of their redos lately, especially of Disney Vacation Club stuff, they have really made things look very bland.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're charging me what Disney's charging, I want something that I can't get anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know if there's some crazy part of the customer base who just wants, I can't handle it if it's not like every other freaking hotel in the country.
Yeah,
it's just I don't understand this going towards this sort of concept that looks, you know, it just looks like anything else. It was same with that canceled Disneyland hotel that didn't look like a Disney hotel.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Disney hotels are supposed to be, have, you know, imaginative and be fanciful and something that, you know, unique, and you can't get anywhere else. And this looks like something you can, there's multiple places on iDrive that look like this.
You know, when you think Disney Resort, you think, you know, Wilderness Lodge, Polynesian, Animal Kingdom Lodge. You know, these unique experiences that you really can't get anywhere else. And this new resort that's coming just doesn't fit any of that that sort of description.
Yeah, I mean, and we'll see what the final product is. And hopefully, you know, it's supposed to be nature-inspired. Hopefully they will limit the amount of trees that they take out and really, really, you know, keep the nature part in there. But, you know, with the villas that they added at Wilderness Lodge, a lot of people, they took out a ton of trees for that and had these, it has like these gigantic pathways that are just sort of blah looking. So I don't know. I will see. It just lately the designs have been less than inspiring. You know, even that tower they're building over at Coronado is just sort of blah looking.
Yeah, there was a lot of people comparing that to like a Las Vegas style resort. It's kind
of, it's the same thing. The Riviera one that's going, you know, where they've taken out part of Caribbean Beach. It's like, it's not. It doesn't scream Disney.
Help us, Star Wars Resort. You're our only hope.
Yes, for those of us who will ever be able to afford to go there.
Yeah. And I think even with that thing, you're going to be inside. You're not going to, the outside, you're not going to see.
Well, I mean, that's the funny thing. Are they going to actually make the outside look like a spaceship?
Yeah. If or it's they, what it's going to be.
Cheap, or are they going to cheap it out? But you got to make it look like a freaking spaceship. You know, what would be the point of doing it, of having to pay all this money and you're just going to walk into a, I mean, are they going to have it look like a spaceport?
Yeah, that's what I don't know.
Obviously that would probably be the cheap out version of it to do it, is to have it just, you know, have the facade look like you're walking into a spaceport.
Yeah.
But, to me, if you want people to drop this money, you better make that thing look like a spaceship.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Albeit a spaceship that's, I'm assuming, going to have a connecting walkway to Star Wars Land. So.
Yeah. So, but no, I've been curious to see where they go with that Star Wars hotel now that all this, you know, this nature-inspired one was announced, and, you know, we still have the Star Wars.
It's sort of surprising that with this construction, because, I mean, I realize, you know, they're going to keep building more DVC, but, you know, it's not like lately it hasn't been that hard to get a hotel room at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
So, it's I guess they're expecting a big bump after the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, because they're building, so.
So, yeah, they got two more places coming online, so.
And, oh, yeah, speaking of, really quick, I wanted to talk about Disney's new ticketing system finally went into effect. What was it, this week?
I believe so.
And they've also had some major increases in price in food and parking. I actually have if you give me a second here,
Yeah, I mean, price increases aren't surprising. It's just been lately, they were dramatic price increases across the board for food items, for merchandise items. And then at the same time, they've been cutting entertainment, cutting hours. I mean, even like Animal Kingdom, which, you know, for years we talked about, you know, it becoming a full day park, and now they're most nights they're not staying open past 8 o'clock. You know, they're ending the safari on Kilimanjaro early, even though the whole nighttime safari thing was one of they touted. I mean, we first noticed earlier this year, this past summer, where like all that nighttime entertainment was ending at like 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. You don't, if you're doing well, it's not like they're not making money, but they're increasing the prices and cutting back on stuff. And
here's, here are some food items for your, price increases. Bottled water is up to $3.50, up from $3. A Mickey bar, the Mickey ice cream sandwich, is up to $5.75, up from $5. A Mickey pretzel was $6. It's up to $7 now. The biggest jump that I saw was a churro. A churro was $4.50. A churro now at Walt Disney World is going to cost you $6.25 for a churro. And bottled sodas were $4. It's $4.50 now for a bottle of soda. And then fountain drinks also saw a little bit of a bump up, like a large was $3.79. It's $4.49. So, and those are just a few. There's other things like,
yeah. And some people were like, oh, well, that's not too much, but it's like, if you're staying there for a week and you're on property,
yeah,
that stuff adds up.
All those add up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, if they're cutting back and raising prices now, what happens if we have a recession?
Yeah.
I mean, how much are you going to cut back then? It's just very disappointing, because it's not like this company is not making money, but they run Disney World like they're on the verge of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Yeah.
They're not even close.
The Magic Band saw an increase, solid color Magic Band, I should say. Was $12.99, and it's up to $16 now. So,
and the annoying thing too is, like, if Disney raises their prices, it gives everybody else the opening to raise their prices too.
And so. Universal up their parking prices. It's like what, $25 for regular parking, $40 for, I don't know, but Universal bumped
it. In the funny thing to me with parking is how Disney and Universal have basically become just like Six Flags.
Yeah.
I remember when I first moved here, parking was less expensive here than it was at your average Six Flags park. I mean, 10, 20, 12 years ago, Six Flags was charging $20, $25 for parking.
Yeah, I remember when Six Flags in New Jersey hit $25 for parking. Everybody went crazy.
And parking used to be reasonable here, and now it's just, you know, and you know, these prices, especially Disney with their prices on food and stuff, you know, we've seen that go up so much too because of the dining plan, because they want to get people into the dining plan. But all of us who aren't in the dining plan get screwed, for lack of a better term. And it wouldn't be as bad if at Disney, unlike, you know, the other parks here, you get 10% off quick service items or fast food items. At Disney, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is you do get 10% off if you go to you know, the candy shops where they have, you know, the cookies and brownies and you know, cake pops and stuff like that. You get 10% off because it's considered a merchandise shop.
Yeah.
So it's I always find it funny. It's like, okay, if I want a snack, then I'm at the Magic Kingdom, then I need to go like to the Storybook Circus Treats, or I need to go to the confectionery on Main Street because I get 10% off a cupcake there, you know, or a you know, a cake pop or something. So it's just, you know, prices are always going to go up, but they've gone up so dramatically, ticket prices and food prices, in the last 2 years. It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, so. I agree. But you know, people are still coming, obviously, in you know.
Speaking of an item that's gone up in price over the years, you know, Universal announced this week they've sold 20 million butterbeer beverages. you know, and this is over, I guess, in 2010 when Hogsmeade first opened. So over 8 years, they've sold 20 million different, I guess they're counting all the different forms. Frozen, yeah. Regular, hot, potted cream, and butterbeer fudge.
Well, no, I think this was just beverages.
Yeah, maybe this is. Yeah, it is just beverages. But
yeah,
and I jokingly said it's like I probably contributed about 50 of those at least.
Yeah,
between the cold and the hot, and the couple of times I've had frozen, I'm one of those people who really do not like the frozen butterbeer.
You are in the minority there, sir.
I know, which I don't understand because I feel like the frozen butterbeer just doesn't taste as good.
Yeah.
It loses its taste, too. Whereas to me, the hot is the best.
Yeah.
Hot is like liquid crack. it is so good. My only
issue with the hot butterbeer is it gets too sicky for me. Like, I think just, you know... Just based on flavor, I think the hot would be in my top spot. But as far as just enjoying it, I have to give it to the frozen one. But like with the hot ones, I can just barely finish. Luckily, they're pretty small cups.
Yeah.
The hot just gets so sicky sweet to me so fast.
And yeah, it is pretty. Like I said, it's pretty intense. It's much easier when you're sharing it with someone.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for butterbeer in general, it's much easier for me having to share one instead of trying to down one by myself. It's a ton of sugar.
It is.
That stuff.
And all the other
it's
versions.
It's very good, but it's a ton of sugar.
I don't think I've done the potted cream.
The potted cream was good, but it's pretty expensive for what you get. I mean, albeit butter beer is a lot more expensive than it used to be. I mean, was it $3.99 when it debuted 8 years ago? I think $3.99 or $3.49. I mean, at the time we were like, oh my god, we cannot believe how inexpensive this is.
Yeah.
Of course, unfortunately now it's like $6.99.
Yeah.
But
my biggest thing is the waffle cone and soft serve butterbeer ice cream. That is my crack.
Oh yeah, no, butterbeer ice cream is amazing.
Yeah,
it's for a soft, and I'm not a big fan of soft serve ice cream, but for soft serve, it's so good.
Yeah, I love it. That's the one thing that I almost can't go to Universal without sneaking into Hogsmeade, or they don't have it in Hogsmeade. Sneaking into Diagon and grabbing my waffle cone with butterbeer ice cream. So, yeah, congrats to Universal on 20 million butterbeers, and I'm sure it's only going to go up from here. So,
yeah, and then one last Universal thing. No surprise to any of us, they added Tuesday, October 30th to the calendar for Halloween Horror Nights 28. Due to popular demand. Yes, due to... We've made so much money this year. Hey, let's have another night where we make money. You know, this date is valid for frequent Fear Pass holders, which I don't know why there was any confusion over that, because clearly your pass states any dates Sunday through Thursday or Sunday through Friday.
Yeah.
Or if you have the every night pass, then it's good for any night. So
people don't read, Barry. It's the internet.
you know, this looks like it may be the last extra day added. There's been a rumor out again about them adding, I guess if this is selling well, that they may add Monday. I don't know where they're going to get enough scare actors from.
I was going to say, where are they going to scavenge up?
I mean, I definitely have heard that November 3rd is the hard out.
Yeah,
for Halloween Horror Nights, that they, you know, because there, I guess some people will talk, well, what about Sunday night? Because I guess Hollywood added Sunday, November 4th, I believe.
Yeah,
but I think Universal Orlando's got a hard out on November 3rd that it has to be done. That's the absolute drop
deadline.
Deadline, because they. you know, they're big into Christmas now. And then literally two weeks later, Christmas starts.
Full steam ahead into the holidays. So,
I'm looking forward to this night. I'm hoping it, not to knock Universal, I'm hoping it's not too busy. So,
yeah, same here. You know, so, all right, real quick, I think we're going to do our spiel about Halloween, what we thought about it. We actually got to see it at the early showing at the Universal
annual pass holder.
Yeah, the pass holder event at, I'm trying to think of the name of the new theater, Cinemark.
Yeah, at the Cinemark, which as of right now, I don't think they've really done any of the, I guess, refurbing that allegedly is going to go on. Because they definitely have not converted that IMAX screen into I guess their thing's called, I forgot what their thing's called, Cinemark XD, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to see the new Halloween in a special advanced preview. As of right now, this movie has had an opening weekend of approximately $77.5 million, making it the second best opening ever for the month of October behind Venom from a few weeks ago. It's definitely the biggest opening ever for a Halloween movie.
I have to read Jamie Lee Curtis. Did you see her tweet?
Mm-hmm.
I retweeted it on my personal account. She said, "Okay, I'm going for one boast post. Biggest horror movie opening with a female lead." Biggest movie opening with a female lead over 55. Second biggest October movie opening ever. And biggest Halloween opening ever. So congrats to Jamie Lee Curtis on that awesomeness.
Yeah, and it's also Blumhouse's biggest opening ever.
Yeah.
So it's huge success in... I think it's well deserved. I really like the movie. Halloween was one of the first horror films I saw as a kid, and it was like a TV. It was on TV that I saw it.
Yeah.
So it was cut down, but it was still pretty scary for being a kid and seeing Halloween. I thought it was well done. I liked that they just tossed aside everything else in all those other sequels, which simplified everything. And a lot of those sequels sucked, and they were dumb. Even some of the ones Jamie Lee Curtis were in weren't that great.
Yeah.
So I liked how it really was Laurie Strode's movie. Yes, Michael Myers is the killer, but it was really her story. And I loved the angle they took it, and I really liked the ending. Even though, as usual with Halloween, they left it a little unambiguous in the end.
Yeah.
You know.
The whole, I really enjoyed, excuse me. The struggles you see with her character, she's almost going through, PTSD after this, after her incident with Michael back, 40 something years ago.
Yeah, basically it's the 40th anniversary, and she has basically spent the last 40 years, preparing for him getting out at some point, that she felt that at some point he was going to escape.
Yeah.
So has basically, even though it's, she's had two marriages that ended in divorce. She had a daughter who was taken away from her because she was spending all her time training her daughter how to survive in case Michael Myers ever came. She's had a very hard life, and, she now has a granddaughter that she's trying to have a relationship with. And then, of course, surprise, surprise, Michael Myers escapes.
Yeah.
And goes on a killing spree. And, I mean, It is a movie. It is a horror film. You have to suspend some disbelief. You know, there's always been that thing, you know, does Michael Myers have some sort of supernatural power? They don't really go into that. They just, even though he almost dies a couple of different times in this film.
Yeah, there's some parts where you know, it's quote unquote it's kind of far fetched. You know, even if they don't get rid of, even if they put aside, you know, Michael Myers isn't this, you know, supernatural being that keeps coming back from the dead.
There's definitely some things when you think about, you know, this is set in a modern world. It's set in, you know, now, and just the way things are now, you know, my only thing, and, you know, and I always have this problem with horror films. It's like, if one of the most infamous serial killers of all time in Illinois escaped,
yeah,
you're telling me that they would still allow Halloween kids out on the street to trick or treat for freaking Halloween?
And the funny thing is, they joke about that in the movie. The police officer's like, "What do you think we're gonna do? Cancel Halloween?"
Yeah, no, they would cancel Halloween.
Yeah,
you know, we. In this day and age, they would cancel Halloween.
Yeah.
I realize this happens over a certain amount of time, but the moment he, you know, they figure out that he escaped, every freaking law enforcement officer, state, whatever, would be sent to that town.
And have it on lockdown.
And they would have that whole entire town on lockdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It wouldn't just be the local sheriff dealing with it.
Yeah. But
that's my one beef.
Like you said, it is a horror movie, so you have to, you know, you have to set a lot of that aside.
Yeah, which is always one of the problems with modern horror films is time. You know, it, and I guess it's probably a lot of the modern horror films, the ones that are usually better and more popular, take place in a different time.
Yeah, but no, this movie presents itself well. As far as a sequel, I really enjoyed it. You know, I've always been a huge fan of the Halloween movies, except the Rob Zombie films, which I absolutely couldn't stand. But anyways, no, the movie's really good. You know, you really get to, you get to see Laurie Strode's character develop, and you see what she's been through these last 40 years, like mentally, and, you know, the struggles she's had with family and making friends and, you know, just her personal life that this one, you know, her brother's put on her. So
not her brother.
Yeah, sorry.
they made that clear. He's not her brother.
Yeah. So, no, I liked it, and it'll be interesting to see where things go. I mean, we won't get too spoilered. But they do leave the ending open for sequels. We'll just leave it at that. And oh, the score. Yeah. I have to mention the score. You can tell John Carpenter's back. I forgot who the other guy that he worked with on the score was. But I have the score already ready to go for me to listen to, and I loved every second of it. It had nods to the old soundtrack, you know, those infamous little tunes, little sound bits from the original Halloween movie are in this one, and it was done so well. And speaking of like little Easter eggs, there's tons in this movie that are nods to the original Halloween film. So many that I missed. You know, I was scrolling through an article the other day of all the Easter eggs in this movie that are nods to the original one, and I was like, I didn't see that. So I want to go back and see it, because, you know, I love seeing all those little Easter eggs and stuff. So
I definitely don't want to spoil the ending. The one little thing though I will say I did that I think all of us liked was, you know, there's always that moment where the victim like looks away and then looks again, and Michael Myers has disappeared.
Yeah,
or you know, you don't see him. There's one great moment in this movie where you know, where Michael does something to Laurie, and he looks away for a second, and then when he goes back to look, she's not there.
Yeah.
And that, I thought that was so cool. And they even used the, they even used the music cue that they always use when, yeah, when Michael does that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was such a great, great little, bit. And it was also maybe a little bit of foreshadowing. So it's,
yeah, that's true.
But really enjoyed it. Really well done. It's nice to see, you know, something that is a continuation of, you know, one of the classic original horror films where everybody involved in this wanted to tell a very good new story, and it was definitely worth it, and it's definitely worth the accolades that this movie is getting right now. So
yeah, it's getting, you know, Rotten Tomatoes, it's certified fresh on there. You know, everybody, I do have one friend that I was shocked, and he's a huge horror fan. And he said he didn't enjoy it, and I'm very curious to see what he has to say about it. But other than that, everybody that I've talked to, they've loved it, and they've said it's a good, true sequel to the original film, which I wholeheartedly agree in. I really want to get back and check it out. You know, anytime I see a movie in the movie theater for the first time, you're trying to take it all in and you miss a lot of things. This is definitely one where I want to go back in the theater and see it again, maybe in Dolby. So,
yeah.
Anyways, I think that's it.
Yeah, that is it. Remember, we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/thrillgeek. Please like and follow our Facebook page, youtube.com/thrillgeek. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's Halloween season. We got all kinds of videos from Halloween Horror Nights, from Hallow Scream, all up on our YouTube channel, and new videos being added every week. And remember, ThrillGeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And of course, you're listening to the Thrill Geek Podcast, available everywhere podcasts are sold.
And also, be sure to check out our Spreadshirt store. I think I got the link right. ThrillGeek.Spreadshirt.com, I think. Yes. But anyways, you just go to Spreadshirt and you can search Thrill Geek, and our store is on there. We have the link. We'll have the link in the podcast description, so you can find it there as well. So, yeah. As far as things coming up, episode 50 is next week. To be honest, I haven't quite locked down if we're going to do anything spectacular for episode 50. I'll maybe see to this week that we do something for episode 50. So yeah, we got that coming up, 50 episodes. That's all I can think of.
Spooky Empire is coming up this weekend.
Yes.
And we will actually be there for some of it, and bring you a little coverage from, I believe it's going to be at the Creeb Royale. They have a convention center there. So
yeah. So we'll be there for,
right. Not too far from where I live. Not that I'm giving away exactly where I live. But
yeah, so we'll be there checking that out, maybe for, you know, the latter part of the weekend and seeing what's going on.
And we'll be
there
at Horror Nights.
Yep.
There's only 11 days left, and one of us will be there for the next 10 of them. So.
And we're also working on an interview with somebody that I think will be pretty fun if we get a chance to sit down and chat with. So,
yeah, we may or may not. We'll see.
Yeah, we're working on the details of that right now. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Thrill Geek, and we'll post any updates on there. So, all right, we'll see you guys again next week. Thanks for listening.
See you in the parks.